And then got married and you get lazy and you don't do a hell of a lot. And my wife actually got me into running, and I only did it purely because she said I must, and otherwise I wouldn't have done it. But to such an extent that I actually fell in love with the running. There was something just pure about the ability to go out and run 10, 15 or 20 kilometers, which previously was never, ever, it never entered my mindset. It was just 10 kilometers, you jump in a car and that's it.
I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben White from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kivinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK, and you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back onto this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to be with you once again this week. And once again, some great feedback after last week's podcast with Janine. I hope you did enjoy it. We've got another one of those fly on the wall coaching sessions today with Lindsay Parry and Jeff Ostrom. That's coming up in just a moment. Before we get into that chat, though, one of the ways that this podcast grows, and I need to ask you a huge favor. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while and you haven't done it, please would you consider leaving us a review on iTunes. iTunes is probably, if you don't know, the biggest sort of podcast repository. It's almost like the Google of podcasts. And the more reviews and ratings we get on iTunes, the higher iTunes ranks us, and it puts us in front of more people, which helps us grow the podcast and reach more runners and help more runners just like you. So if you wouldn't mind doing it, if you've got anything out of these podcasts, if you enjoy listening to them, please let us know. All you need to do is head over to iTunes, search for Run with Coach Parry, and leave us a review there. It is as simple as that. Well, I'm going to stop yakking and hand you over to the coach and Jeff.
Cool. So, yeah, give us a bit about your background. What's your kind of backstory?
Okay, so I come from quite a strong sporting background. Like a typical South African boy, grew up most of my life playing cricket and hockey and soccer and rugby and whatever else came through. But cricket and hockey became sort of my two main focus areas where I played those at provincial level right through to the end of varsity. I think, you know, a lot of the time sportsmen, you underestimate the value of running fitness within your sport. You do what's required to become strong at that specific sport. And you kind of enter each season undercooked, but you get yourself to a fitness level by playing. So you never quite break athletic barriers being a sportsman. You just kind of do just enough to get yourself ready for when you've got tournaments and so on. So when it does come down to running afterwards, you end up being quite lazy and wanting to have a slight vomit on the side of the field after doing a fitness session. So it was always, running was always something that was just had to be done as part of a training. And when I stopped playing sport, I did quite a lot of cycling, enjoyed that. The cycling was pretty cool. And then got married and you get lazy and you don't do a hell of a lot. And my wife actually got me into running, and I only did it purely because she said I must, and otherwise I wouldn't have done it. But to such an extent that I actually fell in love with the running. There was something just pure about the ability to go out and run 10, 15 or 20 kilometers, which previously was never, ever, it never entered my mindset. It was just 10 kilometers, you jump in a car and that's it. And there was something pure about being able to do that and be outside, and it wasn't a cost impact sport. You bought a pair of running shoes, and you threw in a t-shirt and shorts, and your biggest splurge was your earphones or your sunglasses. So it was just a very easy, cool thing to do. And I suppose the bug bit, the competitiveness got the better of me, and you start entering 10Ks and 21Ks, and then you start really biting off more than you potentially can chew, and you enter marathons. And then you suddenly realize you need a lot of help. So that's where I am.
Okay. Cool. So having a look through both your training questionnaire as well as the kind of distances that you've run, you are a fairly typical case study, if you like. This is your picture is very typical, and that is to say that you have a lot of running ability, okay? which also is fairly typical of hockey. I find footballers and hockey players that come over to endurance sport, they do tend to have fairly natural engines. And so if we look at that, your 5K 21:30 5K PB tells us that you should be capable of running under 45 minutes for 10Ks, under an hour 40 for 21K, and under 3.5 hours for a marathon. Okay, so if we run through what your actual times are as we move longer, you know, we go from a predicted 44:39 for 10K to an actual 51:30.
Yeah.
And your 51:30 then predicts to a 4-hour marathon. So there's, you know, you can already see that that difference does show a drop off. But when we look at and it predicts a 1:54 half. And as soon as we slide across to the half, your actual half is at 2:06.
Yeah.
So, and that 2:06 in turn predicts to a 4:25, and your reality is a 4:38. Okay. So you have got plenty of speed. Your weakness would either then be a real inability at endurance or limited training spent at working on that strength. And having a look at your time available to you, that I would say is, if you really wanted to kick on and get close to that potential, look, there's nothing saying that you couldn't get faster over 5Ks, of course. So, of course, if we got you under 20 minutes, that would then also have a knock-on effect all the way through. But in the short term, I think your interest will be best served by trying to address this imbalance between your speed and your endurance. So, and that would mean making a little bit more time somewhere in your week for one longer run. That's
fine. Do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, in terms of your goals, you really should cruise your time goals if we just help you get that mix and that balance right. So, now I'm going to kind of, I thought I'd cut you off. Have I cut you off? No, I haven't. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Your screen's open. I thought I'd shut you down. Okay, cool. So now we're going to move over to, where you kind of ask me any questions, any pressing stuff that you've got on your mind, and then I will maybe ask one or two more questions based on that, and then round off with some advice.
Yeah, so I think there's so much out there that you can read, listen to, and get advice from. And, I sometimes think, like, runners themselves are probably the worst people to even ask, because people eventually find something that works for them. And they can't explain why it works for them. It just does. And it ends up invariably messing with your head and everything else. So you run and you go and you get a heart rate monitor. And then you spend every 200 meters looking at the heart rate monitor to check that your speed's still the same, to check that you're not having a heart attack number two.
Yeah.
And then you actually don't know anything else, because there's too much on the device that makes no sense to an average sort of social runner. So you place a lot of priority on finishing a 10K run. Then you look at your average speeds. Were my kilometers relatively consistent? And was my heart rate consistent within that? And that kind of half provides a modicum of fitness to you. But you never improve. And this is where I find myself. It's almost like if I go do a 5K run, I know that barring being hit by a bus, I won't die.
Yeah.
So, but as soon as it comes to a 21K run, like some defensive subconscious thing in my brain clicks in and says, you will only run at 6:15 for this run, you know, and I almost can't break out of that. And okay. So I don't know if it's because I'm watching the watch too much and I should just maybe just run and run without a device for a while. I don't know.
So look, there's some some very good evidence to suggest that at the very least covering up the device or putting it on screens that you can record the heart rate and see it afterwards, but set up your Suunto so that you can only see the information you need to see, which, to be honest, when you're running a race, quite possibly is only the time of day. So I find that some people intuitively have a very poor understanding of how they are feeling, and those people normally tend to be right at the front of races and somewhere between halfway and two thirds in, and that it's quite amazing that doesn't matter whether it's a 5K, 10K, 21K, it doesn't matter. At a 5K, you'll typically catch them at 3Ks, and 21K, you typically catch them at 16, 17Ks. And so they don't have any governor. And you've obviously gone slightly in the opposite direction where you over-govern yourself. And that may well be due to biofeedback that you're getting, but it can't be from feedback that you're getting from yourself. Unless, of course, because you really haven't done enough volume, but you know what, looking at the amount that you cycle and the cross training that you do, that's not going to be the case. I mean, you should be, you should very definitely be able to convert your 5K time into 10K. So you really should be running pretty close to 45 minutes for 10Ks, and therefore between 140 and 145 for a half. Thereafter, of course, things like doing enough long runs and these things do become important. So I think that by doing a couple of runs where you actually just let yourself run, you know, if we really listen to our bodies and we're honest with ourselves, we know what easy is. I mean, if you can run with mates, have a flat out conversation, arguing about the game on Saturday, then that's an easy run, you know. If you are running harder, you can get a few words out to each other, but there certainly won't be any arguing when you're doing a sort of tempo session. And when you're running a 5K, well, if you're talking, you're not running hard enough, okay?
Yeah.
So a talk test is actually probably the best of all the tests to use. And then, I do like to use devices to track and check. But typically, I very seldom use heart rate in a run or to prescribe training to anybody unless they've been sick or battled with anything or very specific things. I do use heart rate to give me warnings about things that are coming. But again, that stuff you can look at afterwards. You don't need to see heart rate while you're running. So I think you are spot on there. Your training, your physical training between 10 all the way up to 21 doesn't need a big change. I mean, I know that you've got yourself a program now and you'll be following it. I think you took the 4-hour program.
That's right, Josh.
So, look, in terms of your ability, 3.5 hours is probably more appropriate. Well, however, what the 4-hour program will do is it'll ensure that in a systematic way you do get to the kind of volumes that you need for me to give you the confidence that you, similar to how you feel in a 5K, you should feel quite close to that in a 21. I mean, obviously, you obviously can't go out at the same pace. There has to be a slight tap off. But really, if you get in the kind of volume and you follow that 4-hour program, I can kind of predict that you would get around 45 to 46 and a half on a 10K. You get to around 145 to 150 on a 21, and you'd end up at about 350, 345, 350 on the marathon, which in turn would give you confidence to go for 330 down the line. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just I've obviously seen you talk about this before on like Facebook or other blogs and so on, and it's a difficult concept to understand, to run faster, run slower. Okay, so I get that, but like almost like your brain tells you you cannot improve unless your times are improving. So how do you get the balance between, you know, so if you look at your easy run split, for example, you say there, go for an easy run, you've got a specific amount of time that you must run for, and try to keep your splits, say, between 5:45 and 6:30. the longer the program goes on, should you be getting closer to the 5:35 mark, or is that just purely how you feel on the day?
Yeah, so it's got a lot to do with how you feel on the day, and those zones should be seen in the context of human physiology, in that we don't stop doing one thing and start doing another thing physiologically. It all happens on this continuum where it slides up and down. So as you get down to the faster end of that, you are more likely to be moving out of your aerobic and more into anaerobic. However, as you pointed out, as you get fitter, you should naturally slide down to the faster end of those paces. It kind of defeats the object if you're making yourself go down there. But there should be a bit of a gradual tendency towards that. And then obviously there'll be days where you just don't feel great. And that allows some flexibility to slow down, to know that, okay, the further I move or the slower I move, the closer I move into a slightly different zone. However, because there's a gray area, I'm still getting my aerobic stimulation. Okay. So someone like you that has got a bit of natural speed, and I've got no doubt that you could get fast. I mean, I would say that if you got onto the 3.5-hour marathon program, you could probably get somewhere in between 18.5 and 19.5 minutes for 5Ks. So someone who's been running now for the amount of time that you have and that you do have this bit of natural speed, I would be inclined to say that actually you should be doing a day of higher intensity training in the week. And that could be a park run. It could be your club time trial. It could be some hill work. It could be some fartleks. It could be some interval. It could be a tempo run. It's not that important what it is, but I would say that for you, you want to have a shorter session in the week that has you running at a variety of intensities. And then for the rest of the week, you want to focus in on those slower, easier runs. And the reason why the running slower to get faster works is exactly what you've said, is that once we dial in on the right aerobic zone, we slowly but surely get faster and faster and faster in that zone. And ultimately, as soon as we go longer than 5Ks, and 5Ks too to a certain degree, but it's slightly different, but as soon as we go longer than 5Ks, we rely heavily on aerobic, not much on anaerobic. And as soon as you go beyond 10Ks, that becomes stronger and stronger. And so that is why what we're really trying to do is push out your maximal aerobic function. That's a phrase that kind of sums up really what we're trying to do. In other words, the fastest you can run aerobically, that's where we're trying to get you.
Okay, cool. That makes sense. Just trying to think. So in approaching like a 21K race or 21K run, do you try work on a consistent pace the whole way through, or do you rather try to look at running a negative split?
Yeah, so in a 21K race, I try to look at a fairly even effort. So that would imply that if it was on a flat route that I'd run a fairly similar pace all the way through. I always try to finish just a little bit stronger towards the end. And I've managed that very well in half marathons. And although that is the goal in marathons, I haven't done that too successfully in marathons yet.
Yeah.
But in essence, that's kind of how we try and do, we try and plan each race. Feeling, having that little bit in reserve, besides how positive you feel when you feel that strong, just passing people, it gives you even that extra little kick. But to run your absolute fastest time would require a fairly even meeting out of energy.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Lekker. All right, Jeff, any other question?
No, it's just, I think running is almost more mental sometimes than it is the training, because it's just like the time barrier is always just sort of kick into your brain, and you've got to kind of, you talk about running a 3:30 marathon. I think if I did that, I'd be Sounds ridiculous, but you know, why shouldn't it be? You know, it's only a 530K.
Yeah, and look, the reality is to go from 438 to 329 does seem absurd, and running is all about taking the steps along the way. So, you know, on this marathon program that you're following now, I would try and race at least 810 and 821 in the build-up.
Okay.
And, yeah. Well, it depends what race you're running. If you're training for Cape Town, then it might be a little bit late for that. But certainly it just gives you those little pieces of confidence that you are in improving along the way. So, and as you said, you know, if you went from 438 to 4, that's a big jump already, but then you'll already be like, oh, yeah, I can do 350. And when you do 350, I know I've got a 340 in me, and that's kind of how you go. Yeah.
With Carps of Whip being the sort of race we're targeting now for the beginning of November, which would be obviously a qualifier for Two Oceans and potentially Comrades. I've got to still see if I was that brave that day I said I'd do it. But it's a downhill race more than anything.
Yes.
Which sounds fantastic, but do you have to, in that preparation, do a lot of downhill running for quad strength? Look, or is it not completely necessary?
You don't want to avoid hills, for sure. And so I'm just looking through here. There isn't any strength work. But what I would, and you could do this at home, is I would start doing some squats, single leg squats, step ups onto a bench to strengthen your quad. But the most important thing with it being a downhill run is that you need to take advantage of the downhills within reason. So typically what people will do is they run so fast down those hills and it feels good, but then you hit the last 10Ks and your legs are absolute porridge and they can't do it. So you whatever, around 3 weeks before Carps of Whip, you probably want to run a 10 or 21 quite hard, because then that'll give you an idea of what you should target at Carps of Whip. You will be on Carps of Whip, if you pace yourself properly, you should finish between 5 and 7 minutes ahead of that particular time. And so the trick will be to get around 3 to 4 minutes ahead of that by halfway.
Okay.
That's a reasonable amount of being ahead. Because you are running downhill, you are going to be ahead.
Should be ahead,
You should be able to hold on to kind of what you should have been able to run on a more flat marathon through to the finish, provided you've done enough long runs. But if you do have a bit of, if you do have 2 half-an-hour little sessions in your week where you can get in and do a few squats, single leg squats, step ups, lunges, that sort of thing, that's the stuff that really will make your quads nice and strong for Carps of Whip. Yeah.
Cool. That sounds good.
All right.
Back in, Lindsay. Thank you.
Yeah. Great chatting to you. Good. And let us know how the progress goes.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. And thank you to Jeff for his time, and Lindsay once again. Another great session. I hope you got lots out of that one. And don't forget, if you are looking for a training program, if you're looking for help as well, check out the Coach Parry online membership. We've got a very active forum. And if you pick up one of our training programs, you get 3 months access to that forum where you can chat to Lindsay and our other coaches, ask questions, get all the help you need. There's exclusive members only video training there as well. And our very, very popular weekly Ask Me Anything calls. Lindsay on a call, live video conference that you can hop on. And if you need any help, if you're struggling with an injury, or if you want to see if you can swap things around, or if you want to find out the benefits of cross training, whatever questions you've got, you can literally hop on a call with Lindsay once a week as part of that membership. So it's the only place that you can get access to Lindsay online. And it's for a very, very small cost, an investment in your running is the way I like to see it, and you will see massive, massive improvements. If you'd like to find out more about it, all you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join. We're giving you a free trial. You can get in there 1 week absolutely free on us. Kick the tires, test it out, but we're sure you will stick around. So go check that out. That's coachparry.com/join.